It is indeed a great joy to be here, and I'm glad that you're here with us. We have visitors with us, and we welcome you to our services and hope that anything that we say here today would be an encouragement to you to continue to walk as a child of God is or should walk. If you're not a child of God, then this lesson this morning will be appropriate for you, and we'll talk more about that in just a second. Let me say that we will not have pew packers due to the meeting with the Honduras group, so we'll wait until next week to have that again. We're in our series, Back to the Basics, and we have talking about several subjects thus far, and today is definitely no subject that is of less importance. That is the subject of salvation. Very important topic in our world today, and I hope that this lesson will be encouragement to all, because everyone in the world can be saved. There's an opportunity for each one. In fact, that is the desire that Jesus and God both have, that they all should come to repentance. And that all of us, I believe, or some of us, I should say, have experienced the consequences of being lost. Maybe the anxiety of living without salvation, the emptiness of living without God, maybe the hopelessness of living without hope. We've had those times where, in fact, that may have helped encourage us to obey the gospel. And yet there are questions that must be asked in order for one to be saved, a desire to be saved. And these questions are not just to be asked to the one or the ones that are not members of the Lord's church. These questions should be asked by each one every day. And what I can do to make sure that I continue to walk in the light as He is in the light if we have obeyed the gospel. If I have not obeyed the gospel, understand there's only one way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That way is given by God's Word. It tells us the way. It shows us that way. And we need to make sure that we follow that way, because there's no other way but His, as we sing in our songs. So let's look at these questions and let's make sure that we correctly answer these questions if we truly want to be saved. Number one, what must a person have to be saved? What must a person have to be saved? Well, let me say for sure that it's not money. It's not education. It's not fame or honor or prestige. It's not any social standing whatsoever. Now, some of those things may be good, and we have to have money to live on. That's great. That's understandable. We have to have an education if we want to make it in this world. It's good to have. It needs to be had. But yet, these things, as good as some of them may be, in and of themselves will not save. I tell you what a person must have to be saved. Number one, and probably one of the most important things, he must have a desire to be saved. Must have a desire. You go and you look at the those in the early church, those who were some of the first converts. And Peter was standing up there and he was telling them what they had done. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? You see, I see desire in that. They realized that they had just put to death the Son of God, and they said, what shall we do? You see, to me, if there was no desire, there would be no question in asking. There might be no need in asking a question such as that. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness. See, there's a desire there. And that desire needs to be met. It needs to be filled. A person who is ready to be saved, who obeyed the gospel, or is ready to walk in the light, he is in the light, are those that truly need God's Word. Can't live without it. They can't live without the church. They can't live without doing what's right. They want to know, and they want to be And not only, well, going into our next point, not only should they know, but they should be willing. You must have a willingness to learn. And then to do, willingness to learn, and of course to do, we'll get to that in just a minute. But there's that willingness. We must be taught how to be saved. And it's not to be taught by someone and we just sort of pass over what the Bible says and believe what every other person in this world has to say about being saved. What does God's Word say about that? The gospel must be taught and must be received and obeyed. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first four verses, how that he had taught them and they obeyed and they were standing in. We are taught, and when we are taught from God's Word. Hopefully that is the case. And we don't accept anything other than God's Word, as we'll mention here in just a minute. And we accept it because it's God's Word, and we live it because that's what God says. Not because that's what I think is right. Not because that's what anybody else thinks that's what's right. But that's what God says. And what God says is right, whether I like it or not. You must also have integrity enough to accept God's Word. You must be willing to accept what the Bible teaches, and we must be willing to discard what the Bible doesn't teach. If I'm living my life and yet the Bible does not authorize some things I might be participating in, then guess what? The Bible is not wrong. You are. And we got to be willing to let go, do away with those things. Make those changes that are necessary. And we also, and I think this is a very big point, we also must have the humility to submit. You go back to the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. Pride keeps more people from God than you would ever imagine. Pride. There'll be more people who will not enter the gates of heaven because of this word. How sad it is. We must be willing to humbly submit our lives before God. So, there's several more questions or answers that could be given there. But what about this question? What must a person realize to be saved? What must he realize? He must have some things in order to be saved, but also there's some things he must realize. For instance, a person must realize they are lost. I think that's very important. Until we realize this, we will make no effort to change. There's no will. There's no need to change if you don't think you're lost. I don't know about you. Maybe it's just me. But when I read God's Word, I don't read for you. I don't look and see how you could be any better. I look and see how I can be better. How I can change. What I can do different. And if we're reading God's Word and we can't read places to where we need to change, then something's wrong. Well, we're looking at it in a way that maybe is not fitting whatsoever. How can you read God's Word and not see within its pages some things that maybe you need to do both? People are lost. And because they're lost because they have sinned. In the first three chapters of Romans, Paul shows that everyone is guilty of sin. All have come short of the glory of God. And so, that being understood, those who are not members of the Lord's kingdom, you're lost. There's no way to beat around the bush about it. If you've not obeyed the one true and living God and His one way to heaven, Jesus says, I am the way. And you say, well, Brian, I've done this, and the Bible says to do this. But yeah, but see, what happens is you take one verse of something. Some people say, call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Is that all we're going to read? I agree with that statement. I agree with why? Because it's biblical. But you can't take that statement and say, okay, well, that's it. I'm going to put it up here under how to be saved. calling the name of the Lord. Because there are other verses you can't, that's not interpreting Scripture as it ought to. That's sort of, I've said many times, and I hope it sticks with you, that when you read a letter from someone, you can take a sentence out of over here and place it up here, and it throws everything that around it out of whack. The context is completely gone. Media does this all the time. You know, especially right now with the political races. They'll take a short snippet of something that someone says and they put it out over here and they'll cut some parts in between. And of course, after they play it, it's completely different than what the person meant. That's the same way with Scripture. You can't do that. This is letters that are written. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Peter writing letters. Paul writing to Timothy. On and on and on. Go and you take one little verse, one little passage, one little few words and pull it out over here, and it's going to throw out everything. Can't do it. So, you got to realize you're lost, and you must realize also that you cannot save yourself. You know, why did Peter urge the people to save yourself in Acts 2 and verse 40? Peter said that this only after heaven's help had been extended. The fact that they needed help, it was given. It was there. They must save themselves. That is, they must do what God told them to do. Help has been given. The hand is reaching out. But it's not that God is going to save unconditionally. It's not that He's going to do everything and man doesn't have to do anything. Some people say when we talk about obeying the gospel or that to be saved, we're talking about meritorious works. That is, works of merit, that we've earned salvation. That's not the case whatsoever. Don't earn salvation. But God, by God's grace, His Son has been put on the cross. The blood has been shed for us. And just as almost every example in Scripture, man has to do his part. Noah had to build the ark. Moses had to lead the people. The people of Israel had to go to the brazen serpent. Man has to do their part. That's how it always has been, and that's how it always will be. So we got to realize we can't save ourselves. We got to do our part. We must realize, let me just reemphasize that Christ alone we must realize that Christ alone can save us. Christ alone. No other person. You must realize that Christ wants to save you. I've heard people say, well, I've done so much this and I've done this. Oh, that's fine. That's good. I understand. Maybe you'll understand just the reason or the greatness of God's sacrifice. He died for all. But don't say He can't save. Now, He's not willing to save. He wants to save. And He can save. We must realize that Christ made salvation possible. It's no longer by the blood of bulls and goats, as was stated, but it's by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. Almost all things are by the blood purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. By the blood of Jesus. And we must realize that very thing today. What about the blood of animals? Well, as I said, Hebrews 10:4 says it's no longer there. It was needed, but it could not take away sin. It was needed to suffice God and to suffice against the sins of Israel, but it's no longer today. What does this leave then? Well, that leaves only Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for everyone. If the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin, then what was it? The only way was Jesus and the cross. We was talking in class, we was talking about how horrible this would to think about a father giving his son, sacrificing his son. The thought was thrown out that you'd find every other way you could. It's got to be something else. It's got to, you know, there's got to be. See, God knowing even beforehand, there's no other way but the cross. Jesus had to die. My friends, we must realize that Christ made it all possible. We must realize that only you can make salvation probable. Only Christ can make it possible, but only you can make it probable. The probability of a person being saved depends upon one's, again, his desire to be saved, his willingness to learn, his integrity to accept, his humility to submit, his realization he is lost, and that he cannot save himself. So we make it probable that Christ wants to save us, that Christ made salvation even possible. Salvation is possible by Christ. We make it probable by doing our part. And the last question, very important question, what must a person do to be saved? Sort of sounds familiar. For instance, in Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, beginning about verse 25, midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise to God, and the prisoners heard him. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and he drew out his sword that he would be killed himself, supposing everyone had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm." Then he called for a light and sprang and came in trembling, fell down. And he said in verse 30, he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Well, so you have the question asked. You have them saying, and he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." There's the answer given. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all to him, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and he was baptized, he and his all of his house, straightway. So a question asked, an answer given, and then obedient sinners, and that equals salvation. Now, you say, "Well, wait a minute, Brian, it didn't say repent in there." No, it didn't. It said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Now, again, you can't take one passage out of Scripture and say, "Well, that's all a person must do is believe," as some people teach. Is it important? Yes, you got to believe in order to be saved. Well, guess what? They went in that same hour they was baptized, he and his household. Something had to be said about baptism. Somebody wants to say, "What do you got to do to be saved?" I said, "You got to believe in Jesus." What do I mean? What do I mean, believe in Jesus? Believe what God's Word says. What Jesus tells them to do. And do it. Do I think that all that Peter and him said to him was that, "Hey, just believe. Accept Jesus in your heart." No, do not believe that whatsoever. There are many other passages that talk about it. Just because it doesn't say everything in this one verse doesn't mean that repentance is not necessary. Doesn't mean that confession is not necessary. Doesn't mean that at all. To think that they didn't go on and teach further is not understanding Scripture. Again, you see that by the fact that they went that same hour and was baptized. And what? Washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. Now, we got to hear before we can expect to be saved. You got to hear God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We must believe. That is, again, how faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, to understand, or the misunderstanding today of belief or faith and what people teach today than what was done back then is a whole nother sermon. Because back then, belief or faith was an obedient faith or belief. Again, going back to Noah, did Noah believe that the earth was going to be flooded? You better believe it. How do I know that? Because he built the ark. So you got to believe, you must repent. Luke 13:3. Must confess our faith, as Peter did. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you must be baptized. Baptism is commanded. Romans 6, Acts 10, as we just read there. To be baptized is for the remission of our sins, to have our sins removed from us. It's a symbolic form of having our body cleansed. We have our sins washed away, as Revelation says, by the blood of the Lamb. We're baptized to be saved, Mark 16:16. 1 Peter 3:21, that baptism also saves us. Now, again, let's look at this. Does that mean all I got to do is be baptized? I don't have to do anything else? I don't have to repent, confess? No, That's wrong. We usually stress baptism because that's usually one of the only things that people disagree with. And yet it says more about baptism than it does most of all the other things a person must do to be saved. We must be baptized to wash away our sins. Acts 22:16, and is the only way to get into Christ. Galatians 3:27, being baptized into His death. So, what must a person do to be saved? Go back to the simple form of it. I must obey the gospel. I must do what the Bible says. You say, well, wait a minute, Brian, I am a Christian. I have already obeyed the gospel. May have been some years ago. You know what? The Bible talks about walking in the light, sees in the light. The Bible talks about being faithful until death, or unto death. What is that all about? That means doing what God says. Wait a minute, Brian, I'm going to have some blunders. Yeah, but it's not blunders that you choose to make. They are mistakes that you have asked forgiveness for. But there are some by which they may just want to completely ignore what God says and do or live like they want to live. You know what? There's still hope as long as we have our next breath. But you better not take it for granted. If you've not been living as a child of God ought to live, you've been forsaking the assembling, you have been doing things on your own way and your own time, then I encourage you to make it right tonight. When I go out, if Brian goes out and he begins, and I'll take away the fact that this is my job, but Brian goes out and he decides to sit out Sundays and Wednesdays and everything, go out and talk any way I want to talk and do, well, guess what? People know that Brian goes to church here. He worships here. Brings a reproach upon the church when I don't repent of it in a public fashion. That lets the people know that you see the error in your way and you want to be forgiven. That just goes to show just how much we care for the church. Some people say, well, I care for Jesus, I love Jesus, but just don't care much for the church. You can't have that. It's not how it works. Why do I know that? Because the Bible tells us that Jesus died for the church. He purchased it with His own blood. You can't have Jesus and not have the church as well, because it's His. And if I love Jesus more than anything else, and I'm going to love His church. In fact, remember, husbands were told, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He gave us an expression of that. That's how we ought to love our wives. Well, guess what? Shouldn't we love the church even more so? Oh, yes. Yes, we should. We should be doing all that we can for the church. The greatest song that the world can sing is salvation is full and free. And if you want to be saved because you realize you're lost and will obey Jesus, then salvation can be yours. And all blessings that are found in Christ are yours to be had. We are inheritors. We inherit all these blessings from God as we've obeyed Him. We are added to His family. I don't add you into it. No one else does. The Lord adds you to His church. And you are part of the family of God. Because of that, you have certain things that will be given to you if we're found faithful. In the end. I hope maybe as a child of God, maybe that you're striving to live what's right. But there in this invitation song, it gives you opportunity to reflect back upon your life and make sure that if you have sin in your life in a recent way, that you make that known and ask the prayer of the church God forgive you. Not because we want to poke you out and say, hey, look at what I know. Because we love you and we want to know that you are willing to do and want to do what's right. And if nothing else, to encourage you. We all need a pat on the back every now and then, or I do. Maybe I'm just the only one in here. I all need a pat on the back from time to time to let each other know that, hey, we sort of struggling a little bit. It gives us opportunity to go to God on your behalf and pray for you, not just today, but every day. If you're here and you're not a child of God, and I hope you think about what the Bible says, and maybe you have more questions about what I have taught. I'd be willing to tell you, when I come, we're going to sit down and talk. We're going to bring this book along, and we're going to see what the Bible says to answer any of your questions you might have. We would love to sit down with you and talk with you more about that if needed. If we can help you in any way, I encourage you to come now as we stand and as we sing.